And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today, Police Chief Lance Ketterling. Welcome.
Hi, Mike. Thank you.
And also, as a special guest and someone to help ask some questions, Lee Hendrickson.
Yeah, nice to be here and to see if we can grill Chief Ketterling here.
Looking forward to it, Ms. Lee.
Okay, so now...
Thank you, Lance. Thank you, Chief.
We have two kinds of approaches here. One is to talk in the broad sense about all the discussion going around about legislation that deals with... The criminal justice system. There have been changes. The Senate Bill 91 was passed, and then there were some changes made to that. And all of that still leaves, as I notice, candidates for the upcoming election in November, who will be going back to Juneau and continuing the legislative path, still talking about what can be done at that level. The second aspect of all of this, though, is what this means on the ground here, and in particular, does it really affect what has been happening over the past, let's say, 2 years? Because I think I have to go back 2 years and see that's the time before 91.
And you're talking about, like, particularly property crime was what we were thinking
focusing
on.
Does any of the changes, legislative guidelines, laws, et cetera, dealing with criminal justice, what parts of that have affected policing, for example, or life here in the city of Palmer?
Sounds great.
That? Simple question.
Very simple question, yeah. So the thing to remember about Senate Bill 91 and some of the follow-on bills like 54 is that these are really very, very major pieces of legislation. For example, 54 is well over 20 pages, and Senate Bill 91 was over 120 pages. So we could try to sit here for the next half an hour and just read the text, and we probably wouldn't get through it all. It's that sweeping of a piece of legislation. It was really landscape-changing for criminal justice in Palmer. And when I say criminal justice, the thing to remember is it's not just the police, though often they're the most visible portion of the criminal justice system. It affected probations. It affected Department of Corrections. It affected the courts. It affected, the public defender's office, sentencing. Virtually every portion of our criminal code was affected in some way, even if just peripherally, by this bill. And then, of course, 54 last year was an attempt to adjust some of the major changes that 91 had created in our system. Very broadly speaking, the intent of 91 was to reduce prison populations, to offer a better chance of quicker reintegration for prisoners into the community, and to reduce costs for the criminal justice system at the time when the state was facing a very tight budget issue. 54 was an effort to try to impose some slightly stiffer penalties because what they were seeing was an increase in crime and increasing dissatisfaction on the part of the community in terms of things like property crime, which is also what we experience here in Palmer. The interesting thing about all of this is, can we say 91 is the cause? Can we say it's simply causal among one of many other factors that are acting on this? Or does it have nothing to do with it at all? It's just a coincidence. And the reality is, I think it's somewhere in the middle. To say that something like 91 was the sole reason for the increase in, let's just take property crime, for example, that we are seeing here in Palmer, would be to oversimplify a complicated issue. The reality is we have an opioid epidemic that's going on. We have an increased homeless equation that we have to solve. That is a very difficult equation to solve. It's socioeconomic. It's generally not a law enforcement issue that we can do a great deal about, but it is certainly there. We have an increased mental health issue that we're dealing with. Mental health calls, you've probably seen, are very, very high at the moment. The hospital is overwhelmed with mental health patients, and there's virtually nowhere else for these people to go. And so all these things are acting on the criminal justice situation in Palmer at the same time. And so my thought, my belief based on what my officers are seeing on the streets for the last 2 years is that, yes, Senate Bill 91 most certainly did have an effect in terms of emboldening certain people to commit certain types of criminal activity, mostly property crime, and then also things like driving offenses. And that's another one. And the reality is those two often go hand in hand, and drug offenses to a degree. So, yes, it did have an effect on that, and I think the effect was to see an increase. We can't separate that from those other factors that I talked about because they're all acting on it together, and many times they're interlinked.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the property crime issue intrigues me. It's like how much – I mean, we lock our doors at night. We also have dogs. I think those are a major deterrent from anyone –
Dogs are a great deterrent, yes, for property crime. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even small ones.
Yippee dogs, barking mm-hmm. dogs, yeah. So is there been, I mean, and I know in the borough, like in Trailhead, there's been an increase of crimes, people breaking into cars and stealing stuff.
Yes, indeed.
And do we have to worry about that sort of thing in Palmer so much, or?
Well, it's always good to be vigilant and pay attention to your circumstances and the security of your home and of your possessions and of your vehicle. The reality is that, yes, property crime has increased. 2017 was a high for the last 5 years in terms of simple thefts and criminal trespassing, but it's certainly not the highest that we have seen in the last 20 years. I think 2008 we had higher rates of theft in Palmer than we did in 2017. So it does wax and wane. There are crests and troughs in this. And that kind of brings me back to something we were discussing earlier, is that crime in Palmer tends to be, broadly speaking, more dependent on who is in town and doing what rather than location. In other words, when we're dealing with a five-year high, what I'm talking about is somewhere between 175 and 200 incidents of theft in the city in 2017. So two out of every 3 days, there will probably be a theft in town somewhere. That's not always a car break-in. It's certainly not always a burglar. We generally have between, a dozen and a half and two dozen of those every year. That includes shoplifting, simple thefts, from stores or from mislaid property, that sort of thing. Right now, theft in Palmer is tied to, not exclusively, but it's certainly an acting factor on it, the use of controlled substances and trading or selling or bartering a property in order to obtain controlled substances. And I say that based on the fact that most of the people that we are arresting and charging or just simply suspect in theft also have a significant controlled substance habit that they are dealing with as well. And so when we recover this property later on, as sometimes we are fortunate to do, mostly through the good work of the officers, they work very hard at this, is that they are being traded to other people that are known users. And it's this kind of thing where it's kind of the currency of the realm to a certain degree for obtaining drugs. So in terms of what you should be doing for your vehicles and your homes, is Lee hit on some great points. First of all, we do make sure we definitely want to lock up our stuff. Most of the time, thieves or targets are they're opportunists. And if something looks easy, then that's probably going to be the case. And it doesn't necessarily need to be left open for long periods of time. If they just happen to be walking by and there's an open vehicle or something left outside on the lawn, that is potentially a target. With winter coming up, I need everybody to be extremely cautious about warming up their cars in the morning if they're going to do it. I strongly suggest you either have a kill switch or an auto start or something along those lines where the vehicle will shut off. Make sure the doors are locked and the keys are not in the ignition. Don't leave expensive stuff in the vehicle, because these folks have learned that during winter months, people will warm their cars up before they leave, and often as not, they leave those cars unlocked, and it is a 2 second deal to walk off the street, jump into a running car, and then you're gone. Sometimes the vehicle's recovered, sometimes they're not.
Right. So there's two things. One is the vehicle running, but the other mm-hmm. is leaving expensive stuff in your car.
Yeah, that's always a bad idea, whether it's overnight or for short periods of time. Those are attractants for people that are out to steal things. We sometimes see an increase in thefts during hunting season because people are more likely to leave expensive equipment, firearms, that kind of stuff in their vehicle. So all that kind of stuff, basically, we don't want to have in the vehicles because it's just an attractive target for thieves.
Right. So if you've got stuff like that, if you've got a trunk, put it in your trunk. You know, sometimes I have to leave stuff in the car, and I will tend to put a blanket over it so it doesn't look interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great idea. Keep it well lit if you can. Park in well lit areas. Uh-huh. Although parking lots are occasionally targeted. Some of the major retail centers do have that. But yes, more light is always a good thing. Noise deterrents are a great, great thing. You mentioned dogs earlier. There was a home invasion a few days ago. Nobody was home, but the people that lived in the house actually had some type of audible alarm system. And as soon as the back door was opened, it went off and the people ran away and there were no items were stolen.
Okay. So if people are stealing things from cars, mm-hmm. are there particular or actually my question is a little different. What kind of things do the controlled substance users tend to trade? Is there like stuff that they prefer or is it?
Well, you know, generally they just look for easy to move items of value. So if they get a hold of credit cards, the first thing to do once you realize your cards are missing, of course, is to cancel them and alert your credit card mm-hmm. company. But those are sometimes used to purchase gift cards, which are then used later on at different stores. Any items of electronics are used. If they're locked, they're a lot harder for them to do anything with, but they do still try to take them. Firearms, jewelry, cash, of course, is the main thing that they're looking for.
Okay.
Those sorts of things.
Right, right. So leaving your purse in the car is always a bad idea.
Yeah, if you can avoid it at all, then definitely don't leave your purse or valuables in the car.
So we have had a discussion, Lee and I, about the best approach.
I've revised my opinion based on this conversation.
When we pull up to a trailhead and we're going to go for a hike and we have the vehicle and there's nothing in it, we don't leave anything in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, should the doors be locked or not locked?
Locked. Yeah, locked is definitely my opinion on that, simply because unlocked is much higher rates of theft from unlocked vehicles than it is from locked vehicles, is what history tells us. So,
right. And then my thinking had been, I left the car unlocked when I went hiking yesterday, and my thinking had been, if they're going to try to break into my car, I don't want the window broken.
Sure.
You know, 'cause, so, and there's nothing in the car that shows. There's,
right.
There's a repair kit under the passenger seat, but that's about it in the car.
And that's a personal choice. If there's nothing in there for them to take, then the only thing you have to worry about them is stealing the car.
Stealing the car, yeah.
So, which certainly does happen. We had, I think, 29 vehicle thefts in Palmer in 2017, which is high for Palmer.
Right.
So normally we have about half that.
Right. And what kind of vehicles were stolen?
Yeah, you name it.
You name it.
It ran the gamut. And,
right.
Interestingly enough, not in Palmer, we haven't seen this, but in the borough, they're seeing small travel trailers, campers, that kind of stuff.
Whoa.
And we think that has something to do with the homeless population, just stealing them and using them to live in. They park out in the woods somewhere where mm-hmm. this thing may never be found. We all know the geography of Alaska. It's huge. And so these are being stolen for shelter.
Okay.
So I have a related question to the car thing. One of our cars in particular has an alarm system, very mm-hmm. good alarm system. So once you lock that car,
yeah.
if you do try to go in without the key, the alarm goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be something that many vehicles have and would seem to be a worthwhile deterrent.
Alarm systems are great, whether they're for your home or for your vehicle. We don't endorse a particular type or company, but what my suggestion is that you do your research. Online is a great place to start and figure out what your needs are and what that company offers. But noise and light, again, are great things in terms of deterrence. Now, having said that, allow me to say this. Car alarms, if you leave your, you know, $2,000 laptop with a pistol on top of it sitting in plain view, you know, on your driver's seat while you're in a store, car alarm or not, you are running a pretty significant risk of having that stuff drift off. So, yeah, it's got to be a holistic approach. Like most things, you've got to look at this in the entirety, not just, oh, I have an alarm, I'll be fine, I can do whatever I want. That's not how this really works.
Okay.
I did have one more question that went in and out of my brain now. Oh, well.
Well, I can go to another thing that is...
Oh, I remember my question.
Oh, go for it.
When I was working at the university, I had a friend. There's been a raft of you know, car break-ins in or car thefts in Anchorage, and it tended to be older cars, you know, 2000 or earlier, that you can auto, you can jump start easier. I mean, so that's why I was asking about what kind of cars, because like it's hard to start a Prius if you don't have the key fob.
And that may very well be,
right, or hard to start, you know, but an older car, you know, it's like they were targeting 2000 trucks and Jeeps and stuff because you could jump start them and.
Sure. The, what we're seeing in Palmer, I won't pretend to speak for other organizations, but what we're seeing in Palmer is most of our car thefts involve the keys either being left in the car or having been previously stolen, or somehow the keys are involved in the theft. Generally because the folks that are stealing these cars are not terribly skilled car thieves. They're not boosting cars for a living, in other words. They do it because it's a target of opportunity and it's easy. So if you make it harder, it's going to reduce the incidents.
So that's the takeaway. Make it harder for people to
steal. Much so. People, to make a broad statement, criminals look for easy victims. And the less you look like food, the less likely you are to be eaten.
Well, let's switch from cars and food to smoking, because we were over in a nearby city, and were in a facility which allowed smoking, although I thought smoking, now help me to be clear here, we have a no smoking ordinance in Palmer.
A city ordinance, yes, sir.
Right. And then the state approached this whole thing. And so how do those work together, the state's approach to no smoking and the city?
Well, fundamentally, we're going to be concerned with what's going on inside the city of Palmer. And so our primary emphasis would be on enforcing the city ordinance, which is the smoke-free Palmer ordinance that was passed a few years ago. So as far as what's going on in the outside area, while we certainly respond and provide assistance outside of Palmer when requested, the likelihood of it being for something like smoking is extremely remote. I mean, they're not going to call us because someone's violating a state smoking ordinance in some business or something like that. The troopers or whoever handles that that type of call will be doing that. In Palmer, it's us. We can start the ball rolling, and then we can our first goal is to educate, to make sure people understand what the ordinance says and and know what the ordinance requires you to do, and then cite or issue a citation later on if necessary.
So it just since that ordinance has been passed, what kind of compliance difficulties have there been here in Palmer?
It's been really a non-issue as far as law enforcement is concerned. We have not had to issue many citations at all. Basically, once the ordinance was passed, we have not heard any complaints about it at the police department level. Now, I can't speak you know, for the rest of the city. Some legislators or the city manager may have heard something, but we have not. And so it's been fundamentally not on our radar very heavily because it hasn't been an issue.
That's good news.
No, it's great news. Absolutely.
I like to hear
public
that.
Health issue not solved in some ways, and not a issue for you having to enforce the law.
Well, yeah, that's good. And what we, you know, are one of the things you never want to do is just pass a law that doesn't do anything for public safety, but yet creates criminal activity. You know, that's not the design of laws. That's not what the intent is. This was done as a public health issue, and we have not got pushback from it at our level. So maybe, again, others have, but it hasn't been here at PPD.
So this is your last appearance before Halloween. Halloween is a special time for many people. There are all kinds of events that happen. There has been less of a tendency for people to go trick-or-treating, I have noted over the years. At one point, even here in Palmer, there was a constant flow of people, kids, and so on, and it's become less. There have been organized events.
Yeah, we get one or two trick-or-treaters at our house a year. Do you get trick-or-treaters at your house?
Absolutely, yeah. We get them. Not as many, though. I would agree that it does seem to have declined. Now, if it's 60 degrees on the 31st, which, if anything, I mean, our weather's been very strange for October. We're looking maybe a warm Halloween. Then certainly I think maybe the numbers could increase a little bit. The neighborhoods that typically see a lot of trick-or-treaters are places like Cedar Hills, Valley Trails, where there's a high concentration of houses. In other words, the kiddos are looking for the most bang for their buck. Where can I hit the most places while I'm walking down the street? And so where there's more people and whatnot, they're going to see more kiddos. In terms of organized events, you're right. There's lots of them. The fire department's going to be putting one on at the depot as kind of a little trick-or-treat town sort of thing. And then there's things like Boo Fest coming up this weekend at the state fairgrounds. It's basically a beer tasting festival. So great event. I would just encourage people to pay attention to their alcohol consumption while they're there, because we certainly want to make sure we're safe on the roads.
Yeah. Okay. They actually give a discounted ticket price to designated drivers.
They certainly do, and we definitely appreciate that.
Yeah.
If you have questions, you can give us a call. We'll show up with the PBT and just kind of let you know where you're at.
That is very good. Okay. Yeah. Well, Lee and I have asked a whole series of questions, and we have a few minutes left before we finish up here. Any last comments you'd like to throw in about things happening in the police department?
So we have one person in the academy. He's doing very, very well. He's due to graduate the Anchorage Police Academy and come back to us on November 29th. So we're very excited about that. That will put us at full strength. And the lot of training coming up in 2019. We're in the middle of budget for that right now. We've got great support from the city council, and we look forward to 2019 being a great year. In terms of what's coming up in the immediate future, of course, winter's on the way. And so we need to be prepared for those icy streets and cold, snowy weather. So make sure you have a safety kit in your car and that you are giving yourself more time to get to and from your locations because it's going to get harder and harder to stop. The traffic is going to pick up. And we want to make sure that everybody's safe.
Right.
Other than that, things are going along quite well.
Right. You do have a remodel going on. I had to go renew a dog license and... Your lobby's closed right now.
But. That's a great point. Yeah. There are some renovations going on at Matthew Pretrial, actually, in terms of some structural improvements that they're making. And so the lobby at PPD is shut. We anticipate that being another 6 or 7 weeks or so. And so in the meantime, lobby traffic is going just right next door to the Alaska State Troopers lobby. And we're still there and we'll come out and help. It's just a slightly different procedure for the next month and a half or so.
It takes a little more time because I have to go back and forth sometimes between the two lobbies, but I got my dog licenses. They're very helpful.
Yep.
So. Which is a reminder that that's where you go to get your dog licenses renewed.
Dog or cat licenses. Yeah. You can get at the Palmer Police Department. You can also register your bicycle there. So, which we encourage people to do because bicycles are occasionally stolen and bicycles are often found. And if they are found with a City of Palmer bike registration sticker on them, it makes it that much easier for us to get them back to the owner.
Is there any fee for the bike registration?
I believe it's,
$5 or $10
You're
probably.
You're going to see the lady that really runs the department, Julie, would know the answer to that. But Miss Julie's not here right now. And so without her, I'm kind of lost.
She does those details. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's $10 for bike registration.
Okay. Well, good. Those are good points to be reminded of. Okay. Well, Mike Malevsky here, and it's been my pleasure to have Lee Henriksen in as well as we have discussed all things criminal justice as they affect people living in the city of Palmer. Well, not all things, but most things, many things.
Many things.
Many things.
Police Chief Lance Kettering, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having
thank
me.
Thank you all.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.